Good morning again, I'll say. It's a privilege to welcome you to our training time this morning. And I want to begin with an excerpt from the book of Colossians in the first chapter. And we will spend some time there this morning, so if you have a Bible or if you see a pew Bible there, feel welcome to do so. We're going to look at Colossians 1, and I want to call your attention to a phrase in verse number 9. Paul writes to a group of Christians he's recently heard about their faith in Christ, and he says in verse 9 of his letter to them, "We have not stopped praying for you." We have not stopped praying for you. Paul was praying for some people that he didn't actually know that well, or he wasn't close to all the time. But he was interceding for the people that he'd heard about their faith. And so I want us to take a note this morning about the prayer of an intercessor. Paul was a great intercessor. He was always praying for someone. He prayed for all of the people that he would visit. He prayed for all of the churches. And this morning we're going to spend some time talking about what can we, or rather I should say, how can we pray for people like Paul did? How can we pray for other people? In other words, whether you're a parent praying for your child, or you're a citizen praying for your government, or perhaps you're a member of a church praying for your church, or maybe you're someone who has an enemy and you're praying for your enemy, how do you actually pray for someone? Using Paul's model as an example to follow. I believe he was an effective prayer warrior and intercessor, and I think we're going to spend some time this morning learning how he prayed for these people. In this case, it's a group of Christians in a place called Colossae. I'm not an expert on my pronunciations on some of these places where Paul ministered, but I want us to take something practical from his letter to the Christians there. The letter is titled Colossians, to the Colossians. And so let's take up with verse 9, and I'm going to read four verses here. And let's listen for the pattern of Paul's prayer. How did he pray for other people? Let's listen for the way he interceded, what he prayed for when he was interceding for someone. Verse 9, Colossians 1. "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you." There's the statement that he's an intercessor. He's praying for the people. Now let's see how he prays for them. "We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives." Look at the phrase there. "We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will." Paul was praying that the Christians, the Colossian Christians, would know the will of God. Now let's stop and think about that. Can you think of anything more important that you could pray for someone else than for them to know the will of God for their life? Again, I go back. Maybe you're a parent and you're wondering, how can I pray most effectively for my child? Maybe you're a grandparent. You want to know, how can I pray most effectively for my grandchild? Or you're a citizen. You're wondering how to pray for the leaders of our country. Or maybe, you know, you're a person here in Parkview in this church or in your home church. Maybe you want to know, how can I pray for my church to prosper, for my leaders to prosper, for my congregation? Well, the first thing we can pray for is for the people to know God's will. There's nothing more significant than for you and I, and therefore for they, to know and understand. You know, that's a very significant thing. And I hope that as we, as prayer partners here at Parkview, When we are praying for other people, we always include that idea. God, show them your will. Show them your will. Because when they operate in the will of God, their life will be meaningful. Their life will be fulfilling. Their life will be what it should be, what God intended it to be. That's the first thing that I think we can do based on Paul's pattern here as we pray or intercede for other people. Pray for them to understand God's will. But now let's look at verse 10. It says, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. That verse helps us understand another thing that Paul was praying for the people in the Colossian church. He was praying that they might do the will of God, that they might live out the will of God. Notice that phrase, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord. It's one thing to understand what God's will is. It's another thing to carry it out and do it. Would you agree? I think a lot of times we can know what God wants. The people we care about and pray for can know what God wants. But whether or not they're doing that, that is another step that we need to pray for, that God will help them to move from the stage of just knowing what God's will is to actually living it out in their day-to-day life. And that requires usually change. That usually requires adjustment. That usually requires faith. That usually requires sometimes some things that may make them feel a little uncomfortable, and they may tend to shy away from it. Well, that's where our prayers are so important. We need to pray that not only do they know God's will, but that they follow through and do God's will, to live a life worthy of the Lord. Here's a third thing that Paul prayed for when he was praying for people. Look at verse 11. Being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. Paul prayed for the people there in the Colossian church to be strengthened. You know, when a person knows God's will and begins to do God's will, what do they need? They need strength. They need the strength of God, not just physical strength, but actual spiritual strength. And that implies something that we as Christians are learning. God's strength comes through the Holy Spirit living in us. When He is allowed to operate in our lives and we surrender our will and our time and our talent and our calendar and our pocketbook to Him, why, then He will infuse us with His strength. We're surrendered, then He'll give His strength. So we pray for people by praying that they will be strengthened by the Holy Spirit living in them. Now, let's stop and think about how important that is. This room is lit up this morning. This camera is operating, and the lights are shining, and the temperature's reasonable. What enables all of that to happen? What causes those lights to shine, that camera to operate, the screens to work, and the air conditioner to run? What is the key to all of that? Electricity. Power. If the power shuts off, the camera goes down, the lights go out, the air conditioner shuts down, screens are off, and we're in the dark. You can have a great camera. You can have nice lights. You can have wonderful screens. You can have a great air conditioning system. But apart from the power of electricity running through those systems, none of it works. Well, we're like that as Christians. We need a power source in order to carry out the will of God in the strength of God. we have to pray for those that we love and care about, and even our enemies and those that we're called to pray for. We pray that God will help them know the will of God, do the will of God, and be strengthened by the Holy Spirit. He's the electricity, so to speak, that gives us the spiritual power to carry out the will of God in the strength of God. Now let's look at one other thing in verse 12 that Paul prayed for when he was praying for the Christians in the Colossian church. Giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. Notice that phrase, giving joyful thanks. Paul prayed that the Christians in the Colossian church would be thankful, that they would have an attitude of gratitude. You know, I don't think you can pray for something more powerful besides the will of God and the strength of God than the attitude of the person who is a Christian. If we have an attitude of gratitude, we're thankful, why, it is one of the most powerful, powerful things in our witness and work in the world. And it will benefit anyone we pray for when we ask God to help them to have a grateful, thankful attitude. I don't know if you've heard this statement before, but it's coming to my mind right now. Our attitude determines our altitude. If you stop to think about it, the stronger your attitude, the higher God's going to raise you in your work for Him, the more effective He's going to make you in your ministry for Him. If you have a bad attitude, you're going to go down. If you're not grateful but you're grumpy, you're going to go down. People will not follow you, and the people you care about can't prosper if their attitude's bad. But when their attitude of gratitude climbs, their effectiveness climbs, and their influence with other people is so much more. And so Paul understood this, and he said, not only do I want to pray for you Colossians that you know the will of God, but also that you do the will of God. But not that you do the will of God in your own strength, but you do the will of God through being strengthened by God's power, the Holy Spirit. And finally, Colossians, I'm praying for you that you will have an attitude of thanksgiving, thankfulness. You can't pray a better prayer for someone than that. You may not even know them that well, and you can pray these things for them. But this morning, as I was thinking about those principles and kind of reminding myself of them, I began to pray for some people in my life that I care deeply about. And I just prayed that God would help them know His will, help them do His will, help them be strengthened by His Spirit to do it, and also to do it with a thankful attitude. And y'all, I feel like I did my duty as an intercessor for them as I prayed that prayer this morning. These are ways that you as prayer partners and intercessors can pray for the people that you care about and even the people that may not like you. You know, we're challenged to pray for our enemies. Well, what would be better for you to do than to pray for your enemy, to know God's will, do it, be strengthened by the Spirit, and have an attitude of gratitude? You know what will happen when that prayer is answered? They won't be your enemy anymore. God will change their hearts, and He'll also change yours by making you more like Him. So, this morning, we're going to wrap this little prayer lesson up by rereading this scripture, and then I'm going to close us in prayer. And following our live stream, we're going to get a chance to put into practice some things we talked about last week, a prayer of thanksgiving. I hope that you got some prayers that you prepared. I see some heads going up and down. So we're looking forward to hearing that. And that attitude of gratitude is one we will allow ourselves to be developed in. But as we wrap, how can I pray and intercede effectively? Well, according to Paul, we must continually ask God to fill the persons that we're praying for with the knowledge of His will. That's verse number 9. Second, we pray this so that, verse 10, you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way. In other words, we pray that they not only know the will of God, but do it. And then verse 11, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might. We pray that they can do it in the spirit and might of power of God. And always, verse 12, giving joyful thanks to the Father, that they can pray with an attitude of gratitude. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the guidance of Paul, that great intercessor, how he prayed for the people that he had learned about in the church there, the Colossian church. We pray that we will be intercessors and that we'll use the wisdom and the pattern that Paul teaches us to pray with. We pray, Lord, that whether it's our child, our enemy, our boss, our spouse, whoever it is, that we'll pray that they can know Your will, do Your will, be strengthened by Your Spirit, and be grateful in their attitude. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.